Okay. Perchav of it is, chapter 26. Still working with the same source sheet. I figured why not put everything together. You see the outline. We are back to the Shaul and David show, right? We had a break for a chapter. It was just David and Naval in Midbar Paran. Not anymore. David is back in the area where Shaul is, and Shaul finds out, and Shaul pursues David in a place called Giv'at HaChachila. David is going to make the decision to proactively enter Shaul's military camp. We will need to understand why. And he is going to refuse a demand by one of his soldiers to kill Shaul. The soldier says, I'm willing to do it. David says, absolutely not. He takes Shaul's spear and pitcher instead. And then he calls out to the camp saying, you know, you guys are doing a terrible job protecting your king. Look what I got. And we'll see what he's doing and who he's talking to when he says that and why he's talking to the person he's talking to when he says that. And David and Shaul make peace and they part ways. And this is actually the last encounter between David and Shaul. This is the last time that they will see each other. So this perek is actually a very fast-moving perek. It took us, you know, I think it was 11 weeks to get through perek Chavei. That's not what perek Chavav is like. This one is much more straightforward. When we last saw Shaul, he had accepted that David didn't want to hurt him, that David would be king, and he went home, right? That was after the story in the cave. But now Shaul is back again pursuing David to harm him. Unclear whether this is because someone has been persuading Shaul to do this. That was what David alleged, right? Remember back in chapter 24, sentence 9, outside of the cave, David says to Shaul, don't listen to the Adam, the person who tells you that I'm coming after you. So maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's just Ruach Ra'ah, this spirit that has overtaken Shaul. Maybe it's because of Shmuel's death, right? Shmuel died after the previous event, following the chronology that the book presents. Maybe that shakes Shaul, and that's why he goes back after David. However you read it, that's what's going to happen here, is that he's back to pursue David. And once again, the people of Ziph are going to betray David to Shaul. When we read chapter 24, we noted that in Tehillim Perek Nun Daled, Tehillim chapter 54, Ziph is described as betraying David to Shaul. That could be referring to the chapter that we read before, or it could be referring to this one. It could be either one. We don't actually know. I don't think we have any indication of which one it is. So it could be either one, chapter 23, or it could be our chapter here. Just, I keep saying 23 and 24. 23 was the one where Keilah was going to betray David, and Ziph betrayed David. 24 is the one where David is in the cave, and is able to show Shaul, I could have hurt you and I didn't. 25 is Naval, and now we're in 26. So our questions to ponder here have to include, number one, why did David invade the camp? What is David trying to accomplish? We know he's not out to harm Shaul. So what was he trying to accomplish this time that he didn't the first time? Is David going to act differently from the way he acted in chapter 24, the last time he had Shaul at his mercy? Is Shaul going to act differently? Will there be any impact from David's encounter with Naval and Abigail? We actually talked about this a little in chapter 25. But I did want to note for you one source that I missed when we did chapter 23, so I included it here. Source number one. The Gemara here is commenting on a verse in Tehillim. In Tehillim 54, which we said is about that story of David and Shaul and Ziph. So David talks about the Ziphim who betrayed him. So the Gemara asks, "My zifim, what is the meaning of the word zifim?" So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bnei Adam hamezayfin et divrehem, people who deceive with their words." The term ziyuf is a term for deceit, a shtar mizuyaf is a forged document. Ziuf HaTorah is to falsify the Torah. So these are people who are mezayfin et divrayim. They deceive with their words. So zif is not so much a name as it is an adjective, according to this read. And Rabbi Elazar says, what are you talking about? Al-Shem, come on. It's where they're from. Midbar Zif. It's just the name. But you could read either one, totally. I don't even know why Rabbi Elazar needs to throw this in. Like, you know, just so you know, there is a Midbar Zif there. Okay. Fine. So we didn't note that when we saw them the first time. So let's start on the chapter. Okay? Questions or comments until now? All I've done is just give you lay of the land. Yes, Ricky.
Isn't Ziv also something like when you have a wound and it just hit what you would be?
Right. So you're thinking of with a vet, Zav, Zayin Bet. This is a Fey. However, it's interesting that you ask that because there is an association which the Gemara there in Sota talks about with honey. So I wonder if there isn't that possibility also. They talk about it with honey, but I think what you're thinking of is with a vet. Okay. So let's see what we have here in the text.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Now this might be totally off.
Okay.
But when you started to mention about David sneaking in and being able to succeed on getting trouble, I thought of Yonatan when he snuck in. Yes, his mission was to kill.
Yep.
But it was almost like there were some parallels between the two, and I'm wondering while you read it if I should think about those kind of parallels.
It's interesting. I mean, I would definitely agree with you in terms of the parallel of their emuna, meaning Yonatan does what he does, completely confident that he's going to be fine. David thinks nothing of going into Shaul's military camp where they all want to kill him. You know, we're going to see. There are 3,000 men. It's not like he's, you know, just going up against Shaul personally. So in that sense, absolute parallel. That I would agree. Okay. So let's see the opening three sentences. Vayavo'u ha-zifim el Sha'ul ha-giv'asa. The zifim come to Sha'ul in Giv'ah, Giv'ah being Sha'ul's home. Lemor, with the following message. Halo David mistater b'giv'asa ha-chachila al p'nei ha-yeshimon. David is hiding back in the area near Hebron, where he had once been. He's now back in our neighborhood. I'm not going into where exactly Giv'ah ha-chachila is, the yeshimon. But you're basically talking about the area, I think, between Hebron and Yam HaMelach. That's what I believe we're talking about. He has actually, a description in Da'at Mikra. Vayakam Sha'ul. So Sha'ul got up. Vayered el Midbar Zif. And he goes down to Midbar Zif. V'ito shloshes alafim ish bichurei Yisrael. And he has 3,000 men here. Choice warriors. Levakeshes David b'midbar zif, to go seeking David. Vayichan Shaul b'givatach ha'chila shopnei yishimon ala darach, and Shaul camps right by the road. Remember last time he was in the cave by the road? Right? I wonder if the al hadarach, I didn't think about it when I was preparing this, but I wonder if it's not like, well, last time David was near the road, so therefore I'm gonna camp there again. The David Yoshev Bamidbar, David is sitting in the wilderness. David's not on the road. Bayar kiva Shaul acharav hamidbara. And he sees, Shaul is coming after me, he's coming towards the midbar, I am in trouble. So, first question you have to ask is, why is David back in Midbar Zif? He could do pretty well in Paran now, Nabal's dead. He married Abigail. Granted, as we said last time, that doesn't give him Nabal's property. Nabal's property reverts to his family. Nonetheless, you'd have to think that he could have done well by staying down in that area. So take a look at Malbim. Malbim says, this is part of David fleeing from Shaul, actually. Source number 2. V'zeh gam kein oer sin achad asha etzel Shaul. David's marriages to Achinoam and to Abigail raise a new enmity in Shaul. V'lachein hisawer David l'harchik nedo mimidbar paran. So David says, I need to get out of town. I need to get away from Midbar Paran. El makom acher lihimaleit machmas Shaul asher ba'ara mechadash. He says, I got to get away from Shaul's new anger. I'm moving. And so he goes back to Midbar Zif. That's why he does it. While the people of Zif are so afraid of Shaul that they will proactively turn over David to Shaul and make a quick comparison between the opening sentence of our chapter, 26:1, and chapter 23, sentence 19. 23:19 was when Ziph turned him over the first time. So the original text was Vaya'alu Ziphim el Sha'ul Hagiv Asa Leimor. Here it's Vaya'vo'u Hazifim el Sha'ul Hagiv Asa Leimor. And what did they say the first time? Halo David Mistater Imanu. Here it's Halo David Mistater, no Imanu. And whereas before it listed a whole bunch of places that David was moving around, here it's just one place, Givata Chachila Pnei Shimon. But it's basically the same wording. Nothing has changed, is the key. Nothing has changed. Hang in there for a second. Shaul brings 3,000 men. Note, as Malbim does, that the word used, I think Radak also points it out, it's bichure, not bachure. Bachure would be youths. Bichure means choice. They are selected. These are special warriors. He has 3,000 men, just like he did in chapter 24 when he ended up in the cave. Right? He had 3,000 men. We talked about the significance of the 3,000 already before. And David sees this, but he doesn't see it well. He's not quite clear on what's going on, which is why we're going to find out in sentence 4, he is going to send miraglim. Loaded word, we're reading shlach this coming Shabbos outside of Israel. He sends spies to see what's going on with Shaul. So right now, the two stories are extremely parallel, right? The story in chapter 23 and the story in 23, 24 and here are quite parallel. Ziph takes the initiative to inform Shaul. Shaul comes in with his 3,000 choice warriors. The language is the same. He's camping al haderech by the road. There's a lot of similarity between the two. Clear? Yes, Susan.
David is a warrior, and he ran to a place where he already knew he got in trouble.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense to me. For being a strategic, he's supposed to be a really good warrior, strategy and all that. He's been betrayed by them.
Yeah.
Even if he stayed, because he was married to Abigail, maybe he could have stayed there even worried, but at least he's not in the midst of his enemies. Who goes right to their enemies and says, okay, I'm hiding here?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. I would like to think it's a function of Emuna, but I don't think that really seems to fit. He doesn't, if he had, that level of Emuna, he might as well just go move into Giva. I think it's more a function of desperation. I really do. I think that he's scared in Midbar Paran. And so he's just, Now I'll dodge back here and see if I can make it here for a while. I don't think David is expecting security. I think David is expecting, I'm going to move around until something happens to break this. Which we're going to see, not this week, but God willing next time, David does expect that something is going to, David expects that something is going to change.
So I don't understand why he goes down there anyhow.
Because he's desperate. He doesn't have other options.
Desperate for what?
He's desperate. He's afraid that Shaul's going to kill him.
Oh, but he seems to be going towards Shaul. Isn't Shaul going towards
He is closer to Shaul, but where he lives right now, the people all know he's there.
Oh, okay.
In Ziph, they don't know. He's hoping. Yes, Sandy.
It could also be that, they say keep your enemies close. So at least he knows that the Ziphim are his enemy. He knows they betrayed him before. And so it'll help him to keep abreast of what's happening, and because he's quick at getting away, and that way he knows what Saul's up to.
Maybe.
Or maybe to say that then Saul can attack him and he's not attacking Saul.
I think the idea of keeping your enemies close refers to when you're not sure what they're planning and you want to know what they're planning, so keep them close. Pretend that having some kind of alliance with them. It doesn't work if your enemy is trying to kill you or betray you. Keeping them close at that point is probably not a healthy thing to do. Claudette?
Last time David and Shul was together, they left, and Shul had promised not to do anything against him. So David may have got a little bit comfortable with that promise and thought that he can move closer.
The fact that he went down to Midbar Paran suggests otherwise. I think David knows that that promise isn't worth the paper it's written on. That's my expectation. But I could be wrong. So let's see what happens. Yeah. Yes, Ricky, and then we're going to go further.
Is there any chance that he is foreseeing some kind of making nice with Shaul?
I don't think so. I think if that was what he was trying to do, then you would see a much different move coming up in the next few sentences. Like, read the chapter and you'll see. It's just not what's going on. So let's take a look. Sentence 4. Vayishlach David meraglim. David sends spies. Note, the word meraglim does not have to be bad. We have other meraglim in Tanakh who are good, right? If you remember the story with Rahab and all that. As well as once in Bamidbar. Besides the famous bad ones. But he sends his spies. Vayeda kiva Shaul el Nachon. And he knew that Shaul had arrived el Nachon. We used the word el Nachon once before. And I noted then there are articles that have been written about what el Nachon means. Is it referring to a particular place? I'm taking Radak's view, which is it means for sure. He knows with certainty. David now knows for sure that Shaul is there. He knew there was a camp there, now he knows this is Shaul. Vayakam David, vayavo al hamakom asher chana sham Shaul. So David gets up and he goes to the place where Shaul is camped. That vayakam is interesting. I haven't really been paying much attention to it, but before, when the word got to Shaul about David being there, was vayakam Shaul. Now it's vayakam David. I don't know. Maybe something there, maybe not. So he goes to the place where Shaul is camped. Vayar David es hamakom asher shachav sham Shaul. He sees the place where Shaul is lying down. He's got some kind of, higher ground or something that he's able to identify where Shaul is. Ve'Avner ben Ner sar tzva'o, as well as his general, Avner ben Ner, who we've seen before. He was with Shaul, remember when David came to fight Goliath. Ve'Shaul shochev b'ma'gal. Shaul is lying in the circle, ve'ha'am chonim svivosav, and his army is all camped around him, right? They're protecting him. He's on the inside of the ring of soldiers. And Avner is there as well. Avner knows David for sure, right? That we know very clearly. Remember, Shaul asked who David was. Avner said, I don't know. We had a whole discussion. Does he really not know? He says to Avner, please investigate. Instead, Avner brings David to Shaul, but he knows who David is. Avner was also the one who was next to Shaul at the Rosh Chodesh party, right? The one that David missed. We said that his spot would be met, right? David's spot would be noticed when David wasn't there because Avner was there next to Shaul. We had this whole discussion of musical chairs and who's supposed to be next to Shaul. But the point is that Avner knows and Avner saw Shaul explode when David wasn't there. And we've already discussed Avner before and the possibility that Avner is the one who is keeping Shaul angry at David. Remember, we talked about that already in chapter 23 and it's going to come back here as well. I'm not taking questions right now. So that's sentence 5. But then you get to sentence 6. And sentence 6, is this a sentence? Here we go. Vaya'an David. And David declared. Vayan does not always mean to answer. Sometimes it means to declare. Vayomer el Achimelech Achiti ve'el Avishai ben Tsruya Achi Yoav. He talks to two men. He talks to Achimelech the Chiti, not to be confused with Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol from Nob, who is no longer alive. And he talks to Avishai, son of Tzruyah, brother of Yoav, parentheses, nephew of David. Lemor, saying, Mi yered iti el Shaul el hamachaneh. He says, who is going to come down with me to Shaul, to the camp? Vayomer Avishai, ani ered imach. And Avishai says, I will go with you. That is a sentence that requires that we spend some time on it. So first of all, who is Achimelech Hachiti? The name Achimelech might just be a popular name. Like I said, the Kohen Gadol in Nov also, right? I would not read anything into the word Chiti. In other words, I would assume he's Jewish. He's not a Hittite. Many people in this era of David identified with other tribes when they lived among them. So we have somebody else who's a Giti. We have all sorts of people who are identified with nations of others, but it doesn't mean they're a Chiti. Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, right, is not a Hittite. He's a Jew. So that's number one in terms of the name. Interestingly, he's listed first, before Avishai. We're going to talk about Avishai. Avishai is a great warrior. Nonetheless, Professor Keel, the editor of the Dot Mikra edition, thinks that, in fact, this fellow Achimelech may be the greater warrior, which is an interesting note, because he isn't going to appear in the list of David's warriors. In Shmuel Bet, chapter 23, we get a list of David's warriors. Achimelech is not there. So Professor Keel suggests that he might have died before David became king, and maybe that's why. But he was a great warrior. Last note on this fellow Achimelech, before we get to Avishai, who is my real target. That Mikra, Professor Keel, brings a weird note from Amos Chacham, suggesting that Achimelech Hachiti and Uriah Hachiti are the same person. Achimelech Hachiti and Uriah Hachiti are the same person. There are potential pieces to bring to support it. It's a very interesting idea. It would create more of a backstory for the relationship between David and Uriah, and a precedent for David labeling Uriah a rebel against the throne, because I asked him to come with me into the camp, and he didn't join me coming into the camp of Shaul. But I don't see a real basis for it. And I don't know where Amos Chacham published this. I just get this one-line comment in the Dot Mikra. I don't see a real basis, but I note it because it's a very interesting suggestion. But let's talk Avishai ben Tzruyah. Tzruyah is David's sister. This is really important information for everything you're ever going to see about David from here on out. Those of you who are in my Tuesday Malachim Shir already know this. Tzruyah is David's sister. She has three sons. One son is Avishai, who you see here. Another son is Yoav, who we mentioned here. And another son is Asael. Avishai is understood in the Gemara to be very righteous, very much fitting the model of David's righteous warriors, which we've talked about elsewhere. If you take a look at source number 4, I brought you the Gemara to the end of Brachos, in which Hashem is described as punishing David and killing somebody or somebody, that's what's unclear. But Hashem tells a malach in source number 4, take for me the great among them, Rav Shebahem. I don't want to punish a lot of people. I want to take one person, and his death will account for many deaths. It'll be as though many people died. And what happened? Who did he take? Avishai ben Tzruyah, Sheshakul Kirubah Shel Sanhedrin. He was the equal of the majority of the Sanhedrin. So he is credited with great righteousness. But we have a lot more to see about him here. Before I see more about Avishai, don't confuse the Avis. Before we see more about Avishai, isn't it interesting that he's named for his mother here? He will always be named by his mother. He's always going to be Avishai ben Tzruyah. Not only that, his brother Yoav is always going to be Yoav ben Tsruya. We're never going to name them for their father. It's always with their mother. So Professor Keel in the Dot Mikra offers three explanations for why. I brought it in source number 5. First suggestion, which is also found in Radak in Shmuel Beis, is to make the association with David clear. Because Tsruya is David's sister. I don't know who the father is, but evidently not the same Yichus. So that's one possibility. A second possibility is that her husband passed away early and she raised the children herself. So she gets the credit. In the Gemara, you find that. You find that there are certain cases where the mother is the one who was listed with the sage. She was the one who raised him. Third explanation, she was very righteous. And therefore, we list her. We don't know anything ourselves, but that's what the text is trying to tell you. One other piece of this, and we have a lot more to see on this passage, but just one other piece, just introductory piece. You mention that Abishai is the brother of Yoav. When did we last see Yoav? When was the last time we saw Yoav?
When they went down to Midian? When they went down to Midian?
Who went down to Midian?
When they went to run away from Shaul and David.
Nope. Sorry, Ricky?
Was he in Nov?
The answer is we have not seen Yoav yet. Yoav has yet to be named. So, whatever you said, I was going to say no. But the point here is, why are we identifying Abishai with Yoav? You're telling me there's this guy there, Abishai ben Tsruya. You don't know him, but he's Achi Yoav. But I don't know who Yoav is. The Navi here is trying to orient the reader, because ultimately Yoav will have a much larger role than Abishai. Yoav is not showing up until Shmuel Bet chapter 2, after Shaul is dead. But he is going to be the dominant figure in David's circle for the rest of his life. So therefore, we're orienting you already, saying, yeah, he's Yoav's brother. You may not know anything about Yoav yet, but you will. Second item here. If Yoav is his brother, and Yoav is going to be this dominant general, why doesn't David ask Yoav to go on the mission? Why is he asking Abishai? So it could be, but it would be odd. It's possible he doesn't want to make this a mass thing. Like Yoav is somebody of greater stature. But I think the answer is that Abishai may be older. It's tricky. If you look at source number 6, you see why it's tricky. I gave you references to 2 verses. 1, Shmuel Bet, chapter 2, sentence 18. That is after Shaul has died. It's where we introduce Yoav finally. And there we are told, I just turned to it myself here, Vayiyu Sham Shlosha B'nei Tsruya. There were there, I'm not going into what the there is, but there were there 3 sons of Tsruya, Yoav, Ba'avishai, Ba'asael. So if I just read that list, I think Yoav is the oldest, Abishai is the middle, Asael is the youngest, right? That's a reasonable thing to conclude. However, if you jump to Divra Hayamim Aleph, chapter 2, sentence 16, where we're giving genealogies, and I would expect you to be more precise about birth order, there we are told, we get the list of Yishai's sons, right? And it says, Ve'achiyosehem Tsruya Va'avigayel. Their sisters were Tsruya and Avigayel. Yes, David has a sister named Abigail, aside from having a wife named Abigail. He also has a mother-in-law named Ahinoam and a wife named Ahinoam. So, you know, I guess they weren't into naming, you know, more creatively. I don't know. But the point is, Ubnei Tsruya, the sons of Tsruya were Abishai, Vioav, Va'asael, Shlosha. Abishai is listed first, then Yoav, then Asael. So it's possible that Abishai is actually the older and more experienced warrior at this stage, and Yoav is not even a general yet. So that could be why he asked him to go. One last note, and then we're going to pause here and come back to this in 2 weeks, God willing. Professor Keel picks up on this military circle in an interesting way. In chapter 17, we had the first military meeting between Shaul and David, right? The first military meeting. When David wants to go to attack Goliath, right? There, it was in chapter 17, sentence 20. I'm not going to flip to it because it's already 229. Shaul was in the Ma'agal. He was in the military Ma'agal. Here we have the last military meeting between David and Shaul. And once again, Shaul is in the Ma'agal. So Professor Keel, this is in his introduction to Shmuel on page 24, he notes that there are parallels. Like that story back then where David met with Shaul, the meeting ended with a blessing from Shaul to David. Like this meeting will end with a blessing from Shaul to David. But really the key as he sees it, is that in chapter 17, Shaul had a military camp arrayed against the Plishtim. The Plishtim are Shaul's enemy. And now, Shaul is using his military might instead against David. That's the point that that Professor Keel notes. There's a lot more to say. I want to spend some real time next time talking more about Abishai, because Abishai is critical. The brothers Tsruya, as I think of them, and David calls them the sons of Tsruya, they're a set, are the backbone of David's reign. And they are the cause of so much good and so much harm. So we're going to need to talk about them, God willing, in 2 weeks. So hold all your questions, write them down. It is 2:31. We're going to stop here, but I wanted to note in the beginning when we started...